This is an invitation to spend 15 minutes with the Bible. This is the second program of this series. I'm Bill Boyd, the preacher for the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is between McMinnville and Biola, just across from Mount Zion Road. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. In the first series of this particular program, I referred us to the 19th Psalm, and I'm going to return there. You may want to get your Bibles, if you're able to do that, and that's handy, to turn to Psalm 19, from which I'll be reading. I referred to this in the first program because of the tribute that David made to the Bible in the midst of this psalm. And this time I want to study the psalm itself and put that tribute into its context. And we'll go along here as far as time allows in explaining this psalm. But when I teach from this psalm, I have a title for it that I have. I call this a psalm of three incomprehensible things. Now, those three things are the world that God made, the word that God has given, and the sin that we have committed against God. This psalm has its own inscription, Psalm 19, to the chief musician, a psalm of David. Now, David was highly qualified to write a psalm of this sort. In the first place, he knew about this creation. If you remember, David was a shepherd boy. And being outside watching those sheep, he would have been like those shepherds in the New Testament through the night. They could look up into the glories of those heavens. And he could also, by day, look into the sky and see the beautiful blue and the clouds going by and the way the sky would change. And he would be able to talk about the heavens and the creation God made. But David was also a prophet. The words we read are not just the words of David, but the words that the Holy Spirit gave by the mouth of David. And so David was qualified to talk about God's word. He was the one that wrote portions of God's word by the inspiration of the Spirit. And David was also, sadly, qualified to write about sin, because as great a hero as David is in the Bible, it's also tragic how that he sinned. And particularly we think of the sin with Bathsheba and the death of, well, the murder of Uriah and all the things associated with that. That's not the only place David ever went wrong, but that was certainly a grievous sin that's a blot on him. And he knew the depths of guilt and sorrow that come as a result of sin. And so the three incomprehensible things in this psalm are the creation and the word and the sin. Now let me read this psalm to you, and I'm going to be reading from the King James Version. It begins this way: Psalm 19 to the chief musician, a psalm of David. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words unto the end of the world. In them he hath set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. That's the first part of the psalm. Let's pause and talk about that a little bit. In the inscription, it says that this is to the chief musician. Well, that reminds us that these psalms were intended to be sung. They're actually musical compositions. And we don't have the melody that would go with these psalms to know just how it was that they were sung or chanted or whatever that was. But we do have that which is most important, the words of those songs. Reading the book of Psalms is like reading a song book. And so to the chief musician. And as we pointed out before, it says a psalm of David. We mentioned that earlier. as the one that actually wrote this psalm. And it begins with the heavens that declare the glory of God. Sometimes we talk about worldviews. You know, if you believe in God and God is in all your thoughts, the world looks very different to you than it does to someone who does not think about God, or maybe who does not even believe in God. Well, what does an atheist see when they look up into the heavens and see all of the stars of the night sky? Well, they really don't see anything much different than a horse sees, or a cow, or a dog, or a bird. What do they see in the sky? Well, they see lights in the sky, and that's it. But what do we see when we are believers? And when believers look up into the starry heavens, what do they see? They see what David sees. They see the glory of God. We read about the creation of these things in Genesis 1:1, where in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And in Genesis 1:14 through 15, God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth." And it was so. Now that tells us two very practical reasons why God set these lights in the sky. One is to give light upon the earth, but also they are there for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. We create our calendars and we mark our hours by the movement of those heavenly bodies that are above us. And as we do so, we're using them for the very purpose that God gave them when He set them into the sky. And so there's a very practical, useful purpose for them being there. But David tells us there's also a spiritual purpose to these things. Those lights in the sky, wow, they are a display of the glory of God. In fact, you see how glorious the heavens are. And you can think about how glorious and how much more glorious must be the God that made them. In Psalm 8 and verse 1, David writes, "O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who hath set thy glory above the heavens." As glorious as what we see in the sky above, it is humbling to realize that God is more glorious than all those things that He hath made. And it was humbling to David too, in the 8th Psalm, verses 3 and 4. He said, "When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him?" In this psalm, it says, "The firmament showeth his handiwork." Now, we might be familiar with handiwork. Handiwork has to do with the things that you have made by working with your hands. You look around and you might see some of the handiwork about you. Maybe it's a quilt that your mother or your grandmother made. Or maybe it's some craft. Or maybe it's a painting on the wall. And you know, the real good artists, those that really master this, not just in the technique, but to make these things very beautiful, you can see something of the artist in the work of their art. That's why it's good when studying art, it's not just to look at the paintings themselves or the techniques used to produce them, but go back to the life of the painter, the artist, and you can begin to see something of the personality and the style and the mind of that artist, and what they see and what they chose to convey and how they chose to convey it in the art that is given. And so also it is with the creation that God has made It is his handiwork. Now it says in the second verse of Psalm 19, day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. It's not just the night sky, the day sky as well. Don't you remember laying out under the beautiful blue sky, watching the clouds go by, the beautiful billowy white clouds, and maybe even seeing shapes and of animals or something in those clouds and having fun doing that? And watching a lightning storm as it moves across the sky. Those are the change of the sky during the day as well as the glory of the heavenly bodies at night. They utter speech. They show knowledge. And it is not only all day and all night. It is all over the world. It says in verse 3, there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. In every language, in every speech, every place, all over the world, people can do this. They can just pause and look up into the heavens and see the glory of God. One of the reasons that I really like the King James Version is because of its use of italics. In verse 3 of Psalm 19, where it says, there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard, the words, there is, are in italics. And it says, where their voice is not heard, the word, where, is in italics. Now, the reason the translators put some words in italics is because those words were not actually in the ancient Hebrew text from which they were translating. They supplied those words to fill out the sentence in English. And sometimes you really have to do that because the way English sentences fit together and express themselves are a little different than Hebrew sentences. And sometimes it's things implied in the Hebrew that doesn't have really a corresponding word for it. But yet they filled that out. But I am glad with their integrity, the translators put those in italics so we can see the difference. But notice if you leave the italics out in verse 3, where it says, there is no speech nor language, where their voice is not heard. What if we read it this way? No speech, nor language. Their voice is not heard. Now the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech. Night unto night showeth language. But they do so silently. You don't hear anything. No speech, nor language. Their voice is not heard. We have an expression we use sometime. We'll say a picture is worth a thousand words. And so this ever-changing picture of God's glory. Why, it's worth 10,000 words to be able to see that up there, and it does it without making a sound. That says in verse 4, their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words into the end of the world. We talk about a play or an actor that has their lines, that's what they're supposed to say. There used to be an old program on TV, What's My Line? And it had to do with what is their message. Well, their line has gone out through all the earth. It's universal. And their words, this is what they're telling us, to the end of the world. So the universality of that is in there. And then he talks about the sun specifically. And then he has set a tabernacle for the sun. And you watch the sun rise sometime. It's so bright and beautiful, which is as a bridegroom coming out of its chamber. And rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. You know, our time is just about up, and I didn't get through the first section. I'm going to begin there next week and finish that. But I want you to know that this has been 15 Minutes with the Bible. I am Bill Boyd. You can email me or text me at wmhboyd@aol.com. That's wmhboyd@aol.com. I prefer a text. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.